Give us the rundown. Give us the play-by-play, the hour-by-hour, the minute-by-minute fascinating world that must be DJ Smith's life right now.
Well, I got a 3-year-old that gets up somewhere between 5 and 6. And he keeps that going right till about 8:30 at night, and then try and sneak the workout on somewhere in the middle of the day. And I got a 15-year-old running around, argue with him a little bit, and then back to bed, and we do it again.
That's excellent. Berkey, go ahead. You're on with DJ.
DJ, it's Berkey. Thanks for doing this. We've asked the coaches who come on to trace their path for us, how you got into coaching and how your path to the NHL. Can you do that for us, please?
Yeah, you know what? I always thought I'd be a coach when I played. You know, I had some coaches along the way that weren't particularly great communicators, and I just thought, you know what, if I get an opportunity when I'm done, I'm going to learn as much as I can and see how many people I can help, you know, when I do get into coaching. And I retired with concussions, and I think it was 02, and I came home, and they just made a coaching change with the Windsor Spitfires, and they named the assistant coach, Dave Perpich, who had been around a long time, the head coach who had coached me over the years. He brought me in to run the defense. And then I was with the Windsor Spitfires for 3 years in different roles. And then Bob Bugner bought the team in, I think it was 05, maybe 05-06. He bought the team, and we had worked out together and been friends all along. You know, so I stayed with him, and we worked together, I think, for 7 years, where we managed to win a couple Memorial Cups there with the Henrique and Hall and all those guys, Ryan Ellis. And then from there, I took a head coaching job with the Oshawa Generals. Rocco Tullio, Jeff Tuohy was the general manager, brought me in. Rocco is the owner who lives back home here in Windsor. And he brought me in, and it was a great experience. I learned so much in my first year, and every year we got a little bit better. And we had a big, tough team, and we found a way to win a Memorial Cup in Oshawa in my third season. And probably one day later, I got a call from Mike Babcock, who I had just met over the years periodically. He wanted to interview me. And it was a heck of an opportunity. I went with Mike, and I've been with him. I went with him for 4 years, learned everything I could in the NHL. And then Pierre Dorion, Eugene Melnyk named me their head coach this summer. So there it is in a nutshell. And now I got to stay there and prove I belong.
So 13, 14, 15 years as your apprenticeship to get there. 3 Memorial Cups, so it's not like you weren't getting the job done. But still, the apprenticeship took close to 15 years.
Yeah, I'd say it took 15 years, and more to me, the biggest thing I'm proud of is how many guys that I think that, you know, especially young guys, that I pushed and I helped get a little bit better. I mean, the players do it on their own, but, you know, get NHL contracts, guys that have gone on and played, and I really, that's something that I have a lot of pride in, is guys that played under us in Windsor and Oshawa that have gone on to have success, and then the ones that haven't, that are now lawyers, doctors, and all this. You know, the success that you'd like to feel you're just a little bit a part of, but I feel I helped at least some kids out.
All right, DJ, I do have to ask you one junior hockey question here. So you're part of the coaching staff with, as you mentioned, of course, the Oshawa Generals. Last game ever, the Collies say, beat the Kelowna Rockets, Memorial Cup there, 2 Memorial Cups previous with the Windsor Spitfires. Windsor Spitfires and London Knights, heated rivals. How does DJ Smith feel about his son Colton getting drafted by the Hunter brothers in London at the OHL draft last week?
You know what? A lot of people, in there, and I am you know, right from Windsor, I watched the Windsor Spitfires, 87, 88, Adam Graves, Pete DeBoer, and diehard Spitfire guy, and they hate the London Knights. That's just what Windsor does. and I had become really good friends with Mark. I had an opportunity to work with Mark and Dale at the Ivan and Linka,
yep.
With Ekblad and that group there. And, we won a gold there together. And I was there for 13 days, got to know these guys, just how passionate they are about hockey and carried on a friendship. Then I had an opportunity to work with Mark in Toronto. So I became friends with both of them, and you realize just, you know, how hard they work and how good they are at what they do. And, I, you know what? it is a rivalry, but I can't be any happier for Colton. You know what? The London Knights have a hockey factory. The way they develop players, the atmosphere of 10,000 fans, it'd be hard to argue that if it's not the best, it's one of the best places in the entire CHL to play. So my son Colton's going to get an opportunity, and we can't be happier.
A close second to the Kingston Frontenacs. Go ahead, Anthony Stewart.
Absolutely. DJ, how do you find the transition from assistant coach with Toronto to the head coach with the Ottawa Senators? Is it difficult? Because usually as an assistant coach, you sort of got to be buddy-buddy and have an open line of communication on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, for sure it is. It's definitely different. And, you know, as the assistant coach, you're never really given bad news, right? You're always... In the joking around mode or making sure that everything's loose. That was my job anyways. And as a head coach in Ottawa, I still like to keep the communication with the guys, but ultimately the buck stops with me and I have to put my foot down in certain situations. And certainly this year we thought it was a big thing for us for the culture is to show everyone how hard we work and we're going to do it the right way all the time. So, guys that maybe were a little bit set in their ways or guys that weren't prepared to work all the time, I was hard on them, for a little bit. But in saying that, the team now, eventually, you believe it runs itself, and they just know that you go to work every day, and it'll be a lot of fun around there. So it definitely is different, but you got to be prepared at all times to make hard decisions, and sometimes hard decisions, make people upset. In saying that, if you just tell them the truth, the way you feel, the truth, the players usually respect that and they want to be coached.
Berkey?
Okay, DJ. So the theme we see that's important is all these guys, not necessarily star players, but like yourself, John Hines, Todd Reardon, Jared Bednar, guys that had to really work at it, and particularly defensemen that seem to have found a niche in coaching. Is that because you had to master the game?
You know what? One of the things that I believe and I tell people is I've played every role as a player. I believe, I was captain of the Windsor Spitfires, and I would have been, one of the was invited to World Juniors and all that. So I had the opportunity to be one of the better players and play all the minutes and kind of be the face of the organization. Then, I've gone to the American League and been in the middle to upper part of the roster where you're important, but you're not the star. And then I've been in the NHL where I was a fighter slash barely played, and you're the, 23rd player. So I kind of know, or I do know, how it is to be in all situations and how I wanted to be treated. And just because you're the 23rd guy or you're the 15th guy doesn't make you not important. Certainly you have to take care of your best players. But ultimately, you're going to win if everyone gets on board. And I sometimes you might not do it right here and there. But ultimately, I try and make sure that I'm treating the guys the way I would want to be treated when I sat out every day in Colorado or I was in the middle of the pack in Hershey. So I think I've kind of played every role, and I think that helps me as a coach.
Is there anyone that you look at on your Senators team, DJ, and say, you know what, that's kind of what I went through?
This year was funny. We were talking to Cody Golubov in the summer, kind of coming in and being the eighth, ninth, 10th defenseman kind of thing, depending on how he played. And I said to him, I was in your position at that age, different role. I mean, I was, a physical guy that was there to provide toughness at the NHL level, but similar to him in the American League where I would play 25 minutes a game and be, the team's captain and that kind of thing. And I told Cody that we'll give him every opportunity to make the team. And that's all I wanted at that age. And you know what? He ended up staying in the NHL the entire season. I mean, the Red Wings picked him up at the end. I believe when I retired, I was starting to really get better at the pro game. I thought I was going to be able to sustain an NHL career. But for me, it was a guy like Cody Golubov that this year anyways, when I look at it, I see he's a guy that's in and out of the lineup. They expect you to be in the minors, but he found a way to play in the NHL. And to his credit, this season, never complained one time. He worked as hard or harder than anyone, had a smile on his face. And I'll tell you, 500 games in the American Hockey League or whatever he's played, that'll do it to you. And he realizes how good the NHL is.
And that's great. they're for old school guys. Players like Brady Tkachuk are a breath of fresh air in the NHL, and you can see it on coaches' faces. Brady Tkachuk is on the ice. Old school coaches get a little bit of a smirk right up in the corner of their mouth there, bordering on their cheek. It's like, yeah, that little nod when Brady Tkachuk is out there. How many times did you make that face this year with Brady Tkachuk?
Oh, countless. I mean, for a young guy, the amount of energy and physicalness that he brings, I mean, it's a joy to me, and it's the way I've always liked to play the game, is hard and fast and tough. But in saying that, he has ability. He can play, you know, power play. He has all the skills to be a really elite player with a real nasty streak. And, you know, sometimes has to harness it even. Like, even for me, I have to, you know, say, oh, maybe not put him on at the end of the game, you know, when we're up or down by a couple because he's so mad. Like, but as a coach, I'll tell you what, like, if your team's not particularly into it and going, you know, I just got to bark a little bit, and Brady gets out there and he finishes ahead, falls on a guy, bumps into the goalie. Before you know it, our team's playing hard and everyone's chirping, and all of a sudden we've got energy, and you know, that's instant for our hockey team. And I know what you're talking about, and it is something for a coach, you know, just a flick of a switch. He gets out there and he can get us going just that quick.
Stewie, go ahead.
How great was it to see Bobby Ryan score a hat trick in his first home game coming back?
You know what? It was emotional. It really was something else to see, you know, what he went through this season, you know, and then to come back and for his first home game to do that, it was something else, really. I mean, he just, and the way he did it just shows you, you know, why he's been in the league so long, why he scored so many goals. You know, when guys are natural scorers in this league, you as a coach, you're always mad at the goalie. When the puck goes in against you, you always think the goalie should have had it. And just somehow, goal scorers just always find a way to put that puck behind the goalie, and that's what he did that night. But just the way he did it and the fashion and to win the game at home and just see the excitement on the guy's face, it was for a season that's been up and down and a rebuild, it was a good light for us.
Berkey?
Tell us a little bit about your stud defenseman, Thomas Chabot.
Mm. You know what? Shabby, when we first come in, you know, we all know he can go up and down the ice and he can make plays and he can log big minutes. And I really thought that the second half of the season, when we really run into injuries, he was forced to play more defense because of how many young guys we had in the lineup and how decimated we were on the back end, that, you know, he was playing probably too many minutes. But in saying that, he was forced into situations and he really responded. I thought he defended better than he did all year. His plus minus and his chances for and against took off in the second half, and he really was dominant. Very few games that he wasn't the best defenseman on the ice, both teams, probably for me anyways, the last 30 games that he played. And, you know, going into the rest of this season and then for the rest of his future, you look at a guy like him, you want him to be out there against all the team's best players, and he really took that challenge. We kind of challenged him, and he took that challenge, and I thought he was outstanding, not only, you know, with the puck and creating offense for us, but away from the puck, facing the puck, boxing out, all these things that you know, a lot of people wouldn't be looking for. We challenged him to be better at it, and he was a lot better at it, and he's a world-class player.
You know, I know this, as far as wins and losses, it's not where you want it to be right now. We understand the rebuild and where this team is at with regards to it. But I'll tell you, I really got to give you guys credit, DJ, because at no point, and I'm pretty sure Brian and Anthony would probably feel the same way, at no point did we watch the Ottawa Senators this season and say, okay, these guys have given up. Okay, these guys have quit. Oh, trade deadline, they got rid of Pageau. That's it, they're throwing in the towel. Like, this was a team that even if the results weren't there at the end of a night, you still knew that the Ottawa Senators worked hard. Why was that? What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think that's our motto, you know, coming into the year is one thing, you know, I would like my teams to be known for is that we're going to work, and we're going to work every night. And if you work, you get to play. And first off, you got Brady that works every night. You know, Boro, before he got hurt, is not going to allow that to happen. A guy like Ron Hainsey was in the lineup that holds people accountable and understands where we're at as an organization, and pushes these guys. And then you had a bunch of guys that are trying to prove themselves for next year. And ultimately, you know, you've seen teams mail it in at the end of the year. That wasn't going to happen. We have good pros in Tierney and Brown. And, you know, regardless of the wins and losses, I mean, whether who we called up or down, one thing that was going to happen is we were going to stop, start, finish our checks. If you want to play rough, we can play rough. And the fans are still paying to come watch us. And especially at home, we wanted to make sure that the fans knew that we give them an effort every night. And to a man, our guys did that. And you know, I got to credit our players for that. I appreciate all their effort.
It's been a fun season. I know the wins, like I mentioned, the wins aren't there, certainly. But this is, you can see what the future of this Ottawa Senators team is going to look like. So full compliment to you and your coaching staff. On that, we'll let you go. Get back to parenting duty and wish your son Colton all the best for us as he embarks on a career with the London Knights. I bet that TJ Smith never thought that he would hear that, but there it is. Thanks so much for stopping by today.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.